I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's exalt him. Could you exalt him in the building? Hallelujah. Nobody can do your worshiping for you, but you can exalt the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I honor you, Jesus. I praise you, Father God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. It's in praising and worshiping the Lord that our souls really receive the help that they need. And so I encourage all the worship I can, but with that, in my heart is a desire that people that have come to church receive help, the help that they need. And here we are at the preaching of the Word, and I would just really like to see the Lord help some folks after the Word and the altar tonight and just really do a work in their lives. If you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, I haven't been able to hit very many Sunday nights with this, but the beginning of the year, the theme was that we wanted to see the power of God as we've seen him in the sanctuary, and I had begun to preach these messages about the power of God at work in people's lives. And this is one of those installments tonight. If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, a very familiar story, but it's a wonderful story. 1 Kings 17, we'll begin reading at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman, that one God had spoken to or spoken about, was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Someone needs to hear this tonight. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And verse 12, when the woman was instructed to make the man of God a cake, a biscuit, however you want to look at that, listen to her admission. Listen to what she admits. I have only a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse and only these two sticks. That's all I have. I want to preach this evening on nearly empty, nearly empty. Father, thank you for your word, and we believe emphatically, Lord, that these stories were included in our scripture to be an encouragement, an example to us. And I pray, Lord, you'd shut up our hearts to truth tonight. May we feel a growing sense of your presence. And Lord, may folks have their needs, their deepest needs, truly met tonight before they leave this house. Lord, in the next few moments, we'll be coming to this altar. And I pray, Lord, you'll meet with folks here tonight. Hallelujah. God, that there be a difference in their lives from having been in this service. Anoint me, Lord. Direct my thoughts and my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You may not have discovered this, but if I like somebody, I'm just liable to pester them to death, and just something about my nature. And one of the folks I really enjoy pestering is my mother-in-law. And throughout the years since we've been here, she's often flown into Columbus or Indianapolis or maybe lately Dayton. But in those early years, you know, she's one of these, she would get in the car and look right up the dash to see what the gas gauge said. So knowing that, I made sure whenever I picked her up at the airport that gas gauge needle was just as close to empty as I could get it. And she'd get in the car and here we'd go. You know, that's easy to do when you know where the next gas filling station is. It's quite another thing when you don't know where the next filling station is. And there's some folks tonight, your tank is nearly empty, and the way it looks to you, you just don't know where the next filling station is. You know, I had this problem with my lawnmower all last year and tried to remedy it last week, but one of my tires had a real slow leak in it. I put it in water several times. I couldn't find the leak. And it might take 2 or 3 days, but eventually, every time I parked that in the garage, that tire would go flat. And you know, sometimes there's an immediate thing that would drain us of our experience, but many times it's like that tire. It doesn't take much. Doesn't take a very large leak, and it may take place over a period of time, but just as certainly that thing goes empty. Even though it didn't go immediately down from a puncture, some major puncture, it still goes down, however slowly. And you know, there are things that just let the spirit out of us, if we would admit. There are things that just take the joy and the peace and the strength out of our lives. And sometimes they're immediate and sometimes they're a slow leak, but the truth of the matter is we come to periods in our life that we're just nearly empty. And I want to put a lot of faith in the word nearly. Oh, well, she may have been scraping the bottom of the barrel, but she had not yet come to the empty barrel. It was nearly empty. You know, one of the things I always cover in marriage counseling, and I use this first of all as an analogy of our financial situation in a marriage, and then I use it to talk about compatibility and adjustments in marriage and facing difficulties. But I say this is going to be a no-brainer scenario. I want you to answer this. When you get married, now I don't want to discourage anyone, but when you get married, all of a sudden you find out that a lot of marriage is paying bills and unexpected problems showing up all the time. Isn't that right? Every time you think you got all the bills paid, there's another one in the mail. And you think you got everything taken care of and the engine blows up. I try to talk them out of it in marriage counseling. The engine blows up and the furnace goes out and you know what I'm talking about? And the kids get sick. And I said, this is a no-brainer scenario, but how would you like to face all of those crises in your marriage? Number one, would you like to face those with a big nest egg in your savings account? Or number two, would you like to face all those crises with your bank account empty and your credit card charged to the limit? I've not had one say we'd like to face those with an empty bank account and our credit card chart. Every one of them says, well, yeah, that's a no-brainer. We'd like to face those crises of life with our bank account full. Right? Now, I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about spiritually and emotionally. You see, the truth of the matter is there's lots of crises in life. I'm not going to lie to you like some preachers and say, if you got enough faith and you live for God, everything will go nice. You can have your heart set on serving God and face unexpected difficulties and crises one after the other. So I want to give you a no-brainer tonight. Would you like to face all those crises full of the love of God, full of the joy of the Lord, full of the Spirit of the Lord, or would you like to face them on empty? You know, here's another thing, and I'm not going to give you marriage counseling tonight, but you know, I talk about loving each other and how our souls are like emotional tanks. And when we feel valued and when we feel loved and cared about and respected, our emotional tanks are full. And when we feel unloved and we feel unvalued and disrespected, our emotional tanks feel empty. And I talk about the importance of that in marriage. But you know, the truth of it is, spiritually tonight, the more we feel that we're loved of God, the more we feel the presence of God, the fuller our spiritual tank, the more able we are to face the crises. And I know it changed over the years, but I remember crossing the Mojave Desert when you made sure your gas tank was full before you left that last exit, because it was 120 miles across there. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of things, amen, that we face, that it's a lot better to face them when we know that our tanks are full. But what I'm preaching about tonight, that is all true, but there's so many this evening, you feel like the soul tank in your heart is nearly empty tonight. And I want you to imagine the tank of your soul as this widow's barrel. It's nearly empty spiritually, nearly empty perhaps financially, nearly empty emotionally, nearly empty relationally. And I want you to know, before we get through tonight, you may be nearly empty, but there is help, there is strength, and God has a way you can face it even when you're on nearly empty. Hallelujah. I've read this story to you, and I'm going to make a statement that don't sound right, because after I read it, but God didn't send Elijah there to Zarephath to that widow to feed Elijah. I know it says it did, but if you read it, it's not really to feed Elijah, because God was already feeding Elijah. God could have sent Elijah any number of places to feed him. So it really wasn't just to feed Elijah that God sent him to Zarephath. It was to feed that widow and her son. Aren't you glad God loves you enough to send help when your tank's nearly empty? That's why God sent the man of God there. It was to feed that lady. You see, God was concerned about that lady's barrel and that lady's cruise being nearly empty. Could I tell somebody tonight, you may be nearly empty, but God is concerned about your barrel, your cruise, your tank being nearly empty. And in just a small way, I believe that's why I'm preaching this tonight, because God is concerned about your nearly empty barrel. You see, they were going through a famine, and I want to tell you, famine will empty your barrel. Amen. Make no mistake, there are those in our church family that are going through financial famine. Others are going through a joy famine, and we could list different kinds of famine, but I want to tell you, famine will empty the barrel. Crises will empty the barrel. Not only was she going through a famine, but she was in a hostile land, a land that was hostile to God and the things of God. How many knows living in a hostile land can drain our tank and empty our barrel? You go to work, you're in a hostile environment. Amen. It'll drain your tank. It'll empty your barrel. And God was concerned about that. And so he sends Elijah. And Elijah comes to the village, and this lady is gathering sticks, kindling, and I don't know how God spoke to Elijah, but he said, "That is the woman." And Elijah said to her, "Woman, bring me a glass of water." And she made no protest. We don't have the record that she said anything. She just began to go and get him a glass of water. But as she was walking away, and he said, "And oh yes, you know, you husbands do that. Honey, would you mind to bring me a glass of tea? Okay. While you're at it, could you bring me a bowl of ice cream and several cookies, you know?" And then she comes all loaded back. And so she made no protest. She just turned to get him a drink of water. And as she began to walk away, he said, "And oh yes, why don't you bring me a cake? Bring me a biscuit while you're at it." And I don't know if I'm reading this correctly, but she had started with no protest. But when she was asked by the man of God to bring a biscuit too, all that pent up emotion comes tumbling out. Don't you think this woman was very anxiety-filled, very distressed, knowing this was going to be the last meal she'd be able to feed her son? And all that emotion is pented up. And when the man of God asks, bring me a biscuit. Knowing her condition, she just begins to, the emotion just begins to pour out. And she said, you don't understand something. I went in this morning and I scraped and scraped and was barely able to scrape up enough flour to make one biscuit for me and for my son. And I took that cruse of oil and I shook it and I turned it on its side, and there's just a barely enough oil in there to make that cake. And here I am gathering up the little pieces of kindling that I can find to cook a cake, a biscuit for me and my son. We were going to eat it today and then we were going to die. I'm telling you, she was desperate. There's not even anything left over from yesterday. If there'd been plenty, there'd been leftover biscuits from the day before. We've gotten to the end of our barrel. The lady was saying to the man of God, I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I'm nearly empty. That's where I'm at. Oh, I'm telling you, this is a distressed woman. But there are some even tonight. You feel just as panic-filled. You feel just as distressed because you've checked the barrel. You've checked the cruise. And you know just how nearly empty that you are. Listen, that woman's neighbors may not have known it. Amen. The people down the street may not have known it. The people at the house of God may not have known it. But the woman knew how empty her barrel was. Hallelujah. And perhaps her son knew it. I'm telling you, you're sitting here tonight, your friends may not know. Your spouse may not know. Even the people on the other side of the pew may not know. But you know how close to the bottom of the barrel, how nearly empty that you are. But I want to tell you, there's somebody else that knew how empty that widow's woman's barrel was. And that was God knew it. That's why he sent Elijah there. You may sit here tonight and say, oh, I'm the only one that knows how nearly empty I am. No, you're not the only one. God knows it. And he's moving in a service through his word to say, you may be nearly empty, but I'm going to make a way that you can go on. I'm going to make a way of provision. I'm going to make a way of replenishing. I'm going to make a way of renewing. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we serve that kind of God? I also noted that God didn't send Elijah there until her barrel was truly nearly empty. What if he had sent Elijah there when her barrel was still half full or three-fourths full? She would have never known her need, and she would have never known the power of God. But God waited until the barrel was nearly empty. I don't put on airs that I know the ways of God, but I do know this is so often true. God waits until the barrel is nearly empty, because if he doesn't, we won't realize how much we need him, and we won't realize what a powerful thing he does when he does it. Oh, what a God. Amen. It was bad for her and her son that the barrel was nearly empty. Her son suffered for that. You know, I just want to talk to our families. Amen. It may be dad, it may be mom. But I'm going to tell you, just like this woman's case, your whole family suffers when you're nearly empty. Amen. And that's the way it was with this widow and her son. Now, I'm going to tell you one difference in spiritual matters. Spiritually, you may not realize how empty your barrel is. Now, that's the interesting thing is, sometimes people are starving to death spiritually, and they don't even seem to realize it. That's the difference. You know, you can look at your bank account, and you can tell how low it is. Some of you have checked your app during church for your bank. You can look at your bank account and tell how low it is. But sometimes, spiritually, we don't realize how much is leaked out. When we're in the moment of temptation, when we're being deceived by Satan in this world, we don't realize how empty of God, empty of his goodness, empty of his peace that we've become. And that's why sometimes God has to come along and show us just how nearly empty that we are, because we don't realize it. You know, when we bought, I guess it's 2005, our new van is 2005, right? And when we first got that, we had a problem. They moved the gas gauge on the opposite side, and it's constructed that it's opposite the old one. And when the needle is near empty, you think it's near full. And our youth pastor at the time took off, like we do sometimes. We drive all night to Neosho to the meeting there. And about 2 a.m, they ran out of gas on the highway, thinking they had a full tank. And sometimes spiritually we don't realize just how low we are until the word of God is preached and the Spirit of the Lord begins to move. And God shows us how nearly empty that we are. Isn't that his mercy that he would do that? Thinking we're okay, deceived of Satan in the heat of temptation, and we don't realize how bad it is until God in his mercy says, listen to how hollow your heart sounds. You know you're hollowed. You know you're emptied out. You're nearly empty. That's the mercy and the grace of God. Look at verse 12. We'll see a few more things about the lady. We're going to see the answer. She said, not am I going to take the little oil that's left, the little meal. I'm gathering these kindlings. Not am I going to make these cakes for me and my son. But we're going to eat them, and there's not going to be anything for tomorrow. And so we're going to eat them and die. See, here's the mark of being nearly empty. You can see no tomorrow. You know, that way with the lady, there's no future for me and my son. The barrel's so nearly empty, we're going to make these last biscuits, we're going to eat them, and then we're going to die of starvation. We have no future. When you're nearly empty, you can see no way to keep on going. When you're nearly empty, you can see no tomorrow. But here's the answer. Elijah said, he wasn't lacking in compassion. He just knew that God wanted to do something. He wasn't dismissing. He wasn't minimizing her situation. He said, fear not. He said, go ahead and do that. I mean, go ahead and do as you plan. And it doesn't even seem logical. Go ahead and make yourself and your son a biscuit to eat. But before you make yourself and your son a biscuit to eat, make me one. And the lady's already done the math. She makes biscuits every day. She knows how. And she's thinking, didn't you hear what I said? There's not enough for three. I'm nearly empty. There's only enough for two. And if I make one for you first, and I know how preachers eat, and if I make one for you first, there won't be enough left. But I want you to know everything about this command from God is on the word first. Make me, the man of God, a biscuit first and bring it to you, and then you'll be able to go and make one for yourself and your son. Why? Verse 14. Not for thus saith Elijah, but thus saith the Lord God of Israel. If you'll do this, if you'll make the man of God, and in other words, put God first, make the man of God a cake first, a biscuit first, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the whole earth. What do you do when you're nearly empty? You put God first. You see, when we get nearly empty, God begins to take back seat. Amen. We're discouraged, we're disheartened, we're depressed, or we're caught up in the temptation of the world. And being nearly empty, God becomes last in our life. We don't pray, we don't worship, he becomes last. We begin to miss church. But I'm telling you, if you're nearly empty, here's the answer. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, you don't know how discouraged I am, how nearly empty I am of any joy or anything. You keep putting God first. Hallelujah. Keep serving him every day, every morning, every church service. Put God first. Make him first. Make him first. And I'm telling you, you'll find the barrel will never grow empty. The cruse of oil will never run out. And you may be this close to nearly empty, but if you'll put God first, there'll be provision. There'll be renewal. There'll be replenishing. She made the man of God a biscuit and reached back down in there and was surprised there was meal left. She turned that cruse up. She'd already poured it out for the man of God's biscuit, but she began to pour out more oil. I'm telling you, God knows how to replenish in the heat of the battle, in the difficult crisis. Amen. Put him first. If you're really concerned about being nearly empty, find this answer. Put God first. The promise of God was that if she would put him first, she would always have what she needed. And true to the promise, verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. It's interesting and it's instructive. God never filled the barrel up, never filled the cruse to the top. But Sister Brock, every day when there was a need, when there was a hunger, God had replenished, God had renewed, and there was meal for the day. I said, there was meal. As thy day is, so shall thy strength be. There was oil for the day. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad his mercies are new every morning? You may have thought you've exhausted the mercies of God. You're so nearly empty. But I want to tell you, when you get up tomorrow, you'll find he's put a little more in the barrel. Hallelujah. But make him the cake first. Keep him first. It was God's miraculous provision. It was not the woman's frugality or her cooking. It was God's miraculous provision. If you're nearly empty, you won't go on just by simple willpower. I can do it. I'll be strong. You do all you can do, but in the end, it'll be God that does the reprovisioning. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Taking that much meal and oil for Elisha's cake normally would have depleted and emptied the barrel and the cruse. But because God was at work, there was enough. And the next day, there was enough. And the next day, there was enough. And the next day, there was enough. Every day, she had what she needed. Amen. People may fail, but God's provision for those people never does. People may break down. People may leave the things of God. But make this note. They may have failed, but it's not because God's provision had failed. He was there for them. He would have given them what they needed, but they didn't put him first. They didn't make the biscuit for him first. You think it's bad being nearly empty? You quit putting God's first, and it will be totally empty. How many wants to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? I just want to conclude that story. There's so much in that story, but I want to conclude that story. That's the way it was all through the famine. But there was a day the famine ended, and the lady's barrel was filled again, and the cruse was filled with oil again. You may be nearly empty. It may be days. It may be weeks. God just making daily provision. But there will be a day the barrel will be filled again. Hallelujah. How many believes what I just said? I said there will be a day the barrel will be filled again and the cruse of oil filled to the top. Put him first. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. We're living an awful time of anxiety and frustration and unhappiness. I was reading a psychologist, Madeline Levine, and she works mainly with young people, and she said she's amazed at how filled with anger that young people are. And she said we're living in a time where young people feel utterly lost. And these are her words. Young people feel so completely empty. She said she deals with a lot of teenagers, many of them even from affluent homes. But she said a 15-year-old girl came in and she recognized what was going on immediately, because if they have this problem, they'll wear long sleeves and they'll cut a hole in the sleeve and stick their thumb through. And she knew she was dealing with somebody that was a cutter. Young people feel with so much inner pain that they actually cut themselves or burn themselves to try to divert the pain of their mind and souls, divert it to their bodies. She began to deal with this young lady. The young lady began to weep, and so the psychologist said, "Why don't you just don't hide it? Won't you just show it to me?" And the girl took that off from around her thumb and pulled up her sleeve. And she had taken a razor blade and had carved in her own arm the word empty. Empty. life without Christ, life lived against God's ways, will ultimately end in emptiness. In fact, it's a sign of emptiness, and there's no pain like emptiness. We as believers may have the experience of nearly empty, but if we keep God first, we will never have the experience of empty. And nearly empty, He'll replenish day by day, and one day the barrel will be filled. Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. 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 There is help. There is help from the Lord. There's the message. I'm going to invite folks to come and stand tonight. You say, that's me. Young on up. That's me. That's where I'm at. I feel nearly empty. I don't even know how to face tomorrow. But I know one thing. I am determined to put God first in my life, and I'll believe that He will replenish. Would you be real honest so that we can pray with you tonight? If that's you tonight, if you feel nearly empty, would you just come and stand so we can pray together? Don't hesitate. If that's your experience, if that's the way you feel, would you begin to come right now and stand and say, I feel so nearly empty. Would you just be honest with the Lord? Would you come? Hallelujah. 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 Who's going to begin to come and say, that's me. I feel nearly empty. I've been through so much. Just come and stand so we can know whom to pray with. I've been through so much. I've faced so much. I just feel nearly empty. Are there others that would like to come? Don't hesitate. Amen. Amen. It may be the work situation. It may be the home situation. It may be the marriage. It may be something nobody knows about. But you feel just nearly empty. Would you like to come? Are there others that would join these? Amen. Let's be honest before the Lord. And as you come, you say, it's my determination. I'm going to continue to put God first. Let Him replenish. Would you come and just stand so we can know whom to pray with? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you come? Are there others that like to come tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, I believe in my heart there's others. Amen. You're trying to face things so nearly empty. God wants to make provision tonight. God wants to provide. All right, church, would you gather behind these that have come? Would you pray for them? Hallelujah. Lay hands. Make sure everyone's prayed with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gather in as close as you can behind Him. Amen. I'm not saying you'll have to go forever. Tonight He may fill your cup to overflowing. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Hallelujah. He can fill you tonight. But if you leave here nearly empty, you can know He's going to make provision. As your day is, so shall your strength be. Make sure everybody's prayed with tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray one for another. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. He's a God that provides. He's a God that replenishes. Hallelujah.
I will give you
all. Oh, I'm nearly empty, but I'll put Him first. I'll put Him first. I'm nearly empty, but I'll put Him first every day in everything. God gets His biscuit first. God gets the first of my day. God gets the first of my affections. God gets the first of my attention. God gets the first of my life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That's it, church. Pray. That's it, church. Pray. Oh, God, we need you. God did it. God was at work even in that nearly empty barrel. God was at work in that nearly empty cruise. Hallelujah.
This very thing that I'm.
Oh, hallelujah. He'll fill your heart today to overflowing. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I pray, Lord, for your strength. I pray you'd help these, Lord, tonight. I pray you'd replenish. I pray they'd feel that hope, that joy, that strength. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
My sacrifice is best than giving you my best.
Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Oh, God.
Be willing
Oh, reach in there again. See if he hadn't put more in there tonight. See if he hasn't shown you more grace, more love, more mercy, more strength. Hallelujah. Let him do the work tonight. You say, I don't know how I'll face it. Tomorrow there'll be more strength, more help, more enablement. Hallelujah. 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 Even your family may not know how nearly empty you are, but God knows, and he gave you a word tonight to let you know you continue to put him first. You'll have strength for the day. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, there'll be a day the barrel's full again. Hallelujah. Oh, there'll be a day that cruise, that pitcher is filled again. Hallelujah.
Many times I said that I had given you my all.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, that's it. Pray for one another. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. I love the best.
Jesus.
Give me the courage and the strength to be willing to say,
seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All is what hallelujah. Of me, then I will not
seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you.
Giving you my very best.
Hallelujah.
Me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes.
Hallelujah. I'll do it. I don't understand, but I'll put you first, God.
Lord, yes.
Hallelujah.
I will trust.